Welcome to the Salem Baptist Church Podcast. Join us now as Dr. Jeff Beckett delivers our weekly worship service message.
Thank you, musicians, so much. A beautiful lead-in to what we're talking about today, which is in Matthew chapter 1. If you have a copy of Scriptures, and I want to turn to Matthew chapter 1 or digital your Scriptures, that's fine. The verses will be on the slides on the screen as well, out of the English Standard Version, the ESV. And so I encourage you to take a look. Today we're talking about, I admit being selfish today, we're talking about one of my favorite Bible characters. And I thought about that a little bit this week and how kind of odd that is, or ironic, or I'm not sure what the right word is, because this Bible character we know hardly anything about at all. We really don't know anything about his beginnings. We don't know when he died. We don't know a single word he ever said, because not a word he said is recorded in the Bible. We really don't know much about his personality. We don't know if he's a funny guy or a serious guy. We really don't know much of anything about this guy except one thing. We know that God asked him to do something incredible, something remarkable, something extraordinary. God asked him to play the role of father to the Son of God. And Joseph just, like, unhesitatingly, he just, okay, I'm going to do that. And it turned his own life upside down, but he still did it. And so I consider what Joseph did to be kind of the mark of what real superheroism is all about. Now, we're fascinated with superheroes. Everybody is. We may pretend like we're not, but there's no way Hollywood could be making all of these movies. And maybe you're a Marvel guy, or maybe you're a DC guy. Some of you are here going, I have no idea what he's talking about. But, you know, we're just crazy into superheroes, but people pretty much always have been. It's kind of the whole thing behind Greek mythology in classical Greece, this idea that there were these superhuman figures that could stand up against amazing forces of evil and darkness and prevail. And still today, you know, if you flip through your kids' memory albums of their various Halloween costumes, you'll find one superhero after another, probably, because it's just sort of what we do. But I want to talk today about real superheroes, people who actually change things, even though they're just ordinary people. Is it even possible? You remember back in 2011, what happened in the world? Do you remember why it happened, 2011? Well, let me refresh your memory. There was a guy in Tunisia who made his living off a food cart, a street food cart. And in that part of the world, if you've never been there, I can tell you, the only way you can accomplish something like that is you have to pay off the proper people. It's the only way. And you have to pay them off without any regard to regulation or restriction. Just do whatever they want. And so this guy had fallen behind in his, in that part of the world, they call it bakshish. We would call it bribe money. And he had fallen behind. And so the police grabbed him and smacked him around, took away his food cart, and it was the only way to make a living. So a street vendor in Tunisia, this guy, walked down to the main street in front of the government building in his city. And he set himself on fire in front of the government building. He just had all he could take. He couldn't take any more. Some of you may remember what 2011 was like now. You might remember how the Arab Spring started after this happened. You may remember that within the next 4 months, five governments in the Middle East toppled because one guy did something. Well, what's the word? Horrible. And he couldn't take any more. Today we're going to talk about one guy who did something remarkable. And it changed everything. It changed everything about the Christmas story that we get to celebrate. It changed everything about our perspective of God because of this one guy, and his name was Joseph. And I consider Joseph a superhero. Joseph reminds me of a lot of guys, a lot of moms, a lot of single moms, a lot of people in this church who have done remarkable things. And I just stand in awe and wonder and watch you live out a life of faith. I see it over and over again. There are a lot of you, even right here this morning. And I'm talking to you, and I'm not just saying that to compliment you. I could list names if I needed to. There'd be too many to list. Joseph was a real superhero. And if you're going to be a real superhero, you know what you need, right? No, not a cape. No, you need a superpower. Joseph had a superpower. He had quiet faith. That was his superpower. I know you might be disappointed. It's not flying and bullets bouncing off of your body and stuff like that. I get it. But well, do you remember, there's a story in the final week of Jesus' ministry. He and his disciples are walking along the road, and Jesus sees a fig tree that's in full leaf, but it's not bearing fruit yet. And Jesus curses the fig tree. It's the only destructive miracle he ever performed. It's recorded in Matthew 21. And so the very next day, they walk beside the fig tree, and the disciples are like, "Master, Master, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered up from the roots and died." And Jesus looks at them in amazement. He's like, "Yeah, I cursed it." And then he said the following. He says, "And if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be thou moved into the sea,' it will be moved." All right. So the moral of this is not we need to go around cursing trees and asking mountains to relocate. I doubt that's the will of God. I think he put the mountains where he wanted them. The moral of this is this superpower that Joseph had that we're about to read about, you can have it too. You can demonstrate incredible, remarkable, world-changing faith if you would. In fact, there are a lot of people in this room constantly doing that very thing. So I want you to think about that. Joseph is a superhero in my mind, as are many people in this room. And on this Father's Day, I want to pay tribute and honor to them by looking at this guy's life and considering the implications of it for us. Now, what was his superpower? Quiet faith. Here we go. This is Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. If you have scriptures, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and you want to follow along, here we go. "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." All right, so it's 1st century AD, it's Palestine. It's not 21st century America or whatever we're in, okay? So maybe just a little explanation, though you probably don't need it. In that day and time, families arranged marriages, and it was a legally binding agreement. And usually there were some terms of the agreement, like an endowment or a dowry we would use in a different era to describe it. And so during that agreement, it was legally binding. They were betrothed, but they weren't in a physical relationship. They weren't married yet. In fact, during that period of time, the future groom would go and prepare the domicile, prepare the home and get it ready. And then when he was ready, he would maybe send a whisperer or a runner to say, "Is she ready?" And then there would be a big procession down to the future bride's house. And then they would have a giant wedding feast. Then he would take her to the domicile he'd prepared, and the wedding had happened. So they were in the betrothal stage, Joseph and Mary. And suddenly, word comes that Mary is with child. Now, Mary and God and you and I, because of the scriptures we're reading, we know why she was with child. But I just want you to imagine Joseph for a moment when he first hears about this. I just want you to imagine what he's thinking. Well, we actually don't have to imagine. It says that her husband Joseph was a just man. It's a great word. It's literally the word upright, and it means righteous. But it means a little more than that. It means Joseph wanted to do the right thing, but he wanted to do it in the right way. You know, a lot of people want to do the right thing, but they really want to do it in a very aggressive, ugly, or wrong way, which makes whatever they do not too effective. The Bible says Joseph was an upright man. He wanted to do the right thing. And of course, the right thing was to find a way to dispose of Mary quietly, to ease her shame and her embarrassment. Nazareth was a little town, 400 or 500 people at most, and everybody was going to know the shame and the embarrassment of what had just happened when an unmarried woman is now with child. And Joseph wasn't going to have the immorality of that attached to his name, so he was going to divorce her, but he wanted it to be done in a way that spared her. So while he's pondering all of this, something amazing happens. So her husband Joseph was a just man, unwilling to put her to shame. He resolved to divorce her quietly. Verse 20 says, "And as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" Now, I want to interfere with the angel of the Lord for just a minute to interject something. So, you're in the middle of this circumstance, you're Joseph, your dreams are crushed, your future bride is with child, you're pondering how to work your way out of this embarrassing situation. And then suddenly you have a crazy dream, and God is telling you, "I don't want you to work your way out of this situation. I want you to serve me." And then you wake up. What would you do? I can tell you what I would do, and I don't like admitting it. I would be thinking, "What in the world did I have for supper that left me with a crazy dream like that?" I hate to admit it, but I'd be thinking, "Did I eat something spicy?" Because, you know, or am I that stressed out? But I want you to look at what Joseph did. Verse 21. So back to the angel of the Lord and the dream. "And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, that, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means "God with us." That's the only time in all of human history that that has happened. It's the only time it's ever going to happen. A virgin conceived is with child. So now it's time to see what happens when Joseph wakes up. I think you guys already know the Christmas story, so you kind of know what happens. But just in case, verse 24. "So when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him." Now, I just love it. There's just a simplicity to that. He didn't go to the cabinet and pull out a bunch of antacids. Like, "Well, that was one crazy dream. Now, I was looking for a way to dispose of Mary quietly and kindly." He didn't do any of that. He didn't, "Well, all right, I better go have a conversation with Mary. Maybe there's more to this than I realize." He woke from his sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. And then verse 25 says he did something else really remarkable. "He knew her not," and that means he decided to be celibate, to have no sexual relations with his wife, even after they were married, until after she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the stuff of superheroes. And let me explain why. First of all, Joseph was asked to endure something scandalous for his faith. You don't think about those two things going together very often, church. Scandalous and faith. But you had better get used to it. Because there is coming, and it may now be upon us, a day when to really live a genuine life of faith is at times going to be scandalous. And if you can't do it, you know, the stuff that I'm talking about with Joseph is just some little story in history. So God asked Joseph to do something absolutely scandalous based on his faith in God. And remember, Joseph had every right legally to seek financial restitution, whatever arrangement had been made between the families. He had every right to get every last penny plus recompense from Mary's family. He had every right to press charges against her. He had every right to go to the city gate of Nazareth. Here's all a male had to do in the first century AD. Go to the city gate and shout, "I divorce her, I divorce her, I divorce her." Three times. I'm sorry, honey, right now, we're divorced. If my wife was sitting over there. I mean, that's all that was required of a male. He had every right to bring charges to her before the religious council. And the penalty of that, folks, by the way, could have gone as far as death. But the Bible says that Joseph was a righteous man. There's a difference between a righteous man and a self-righteous man. Joseph wanted to do the right thing. And God presented himself to Joseph and said, in this case, Joseph, the right thing is for you to endure the scandal of faith for the kingdom of God. Because while Joseph now understood what was going on with Mary, and Mary understood, there were probably 400 or 500 residents of Nazareth that didn't. So Joseph endured the scandal of faith. You know, it's not always the most attention getting, not a lot of applause when your superpower is quiet faith. I was thinking about 34 years, 35 years ago, something like that. My wife and I were newly married. We had our first nativity set. And I was pulling it out of the box. And, you know, first you got the little manger and the little baby plastered in the manger. He wasn't getting out. He wasn't escaping. He was plastered in there. And you pull out other little pieces, a little lamb, so cute. I mean, there was the one and only female. There's no question that was Mary. There was a guy holding a box. Obviously, he was a wise man. There was a guy holding a staff. You know, that had to be a shepherd. And I'm pulling them out. There's even an angel, and I'm pulling the angel out. It's our first nativity set, and I pull them all out. And I step back and look, and I'm thinking, something's wrong. Which one is Joseph? There was no Joseph. I mean, one of the wise men or the shepherds had to be doubling as Joseph. And I'm just thinking, that's not right. I know he doesn't say anything, but come on. God said, endure the scandal and walk by faith. And Joseph just did. He didn't question it. He just did it. I want you to think of the times when you've been in similar situations where God has challenged you to make a faith-based choice that wasn't necessarily going to reflect well on you in the eyes of the culture. I just want you to think about that. I want you to think about what's going to happen the next time that that happens. You know, what about when you fear you've been wronged? I mean, Joseph felt that Mary had wronged him probably. Right? Before he heard from the angel, he assumed she had been unfaithful. Sometimes when we fear we've been wronged, instead of being righteous, we're self-righteous. And at that moment, we stop listening to the voice of God, which maybe is about to tell us he's up to something, even in our pain. Do you know that God can be up to something even in the middle of our pain? And in this case, he was up to something in the middle of Joseph's pain. But a lot of times we're more worried about how we look in the eyes of the culture. In other words, sometimes we're more self-righteous than righteous. The second thing about Joseph that really jumps out at me is what God asked of him. Is Joseph, this child that Mary is carrying is of the Holy Spirit. And oh, by the way, though he's not yours, he's going to save the world. And I want you to raise him like yours. And by the way, Joseph, he's your God. He's your creator. But you're going to raise him. You're going to potty train the creator of the universe. And Joseph had free will. He could have walked away. He could have made another choice. He could have said, all I want, God, is a normal life. I just want a wife and I want a kid of my own. That's all he wanted. You ever have that happen when normal gets invaded? You don't have to answer that, because I know that there are a lot of you in this room that have had that happen. I've seen so many, like, parents of special needs children in this church. You're some of the most amazing people that I've ever seen. I see what I'm talking about right now. I see it played out in front of my eyes all the time. I see some of you who've had to deal through terrible hardships and unfair treatment at jobs and companies and corporations. I see some of you had to deal with the early death of loved ones. And just every now and then, normal gets invaded. And when it happened to Joseph, he just obeyed. His faith was unshaken. He said, "God, I would like to have my kid and a normal life," but he didn't get that. And sometimes we don't. And because he didn't, and there was a lifetime of consequences. It was journeys to Bethlehem where there's not going to be any room to stay. There were nighttime flights to Egypt because he found himself on Herod's hit list. Why? For no other reason than the fact that he was the stepfather of the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. When all you want is normal, and God says, "Sorry, you don't get normal," are you able to still obey? When all you want is just normal, and God says, "Sorry, you're going to live an incredible, amazing life of faith, but it won't be normal," are you still able to obey? There was a missionary magazine I read years ago. One of our own Southern Baptist missionaries was working in a really remote place in Central Africa and was trying to get them some written language so he could share the gospel. But they didn't even have a written language in this tribe. And so he was really struggling. Among the things he was struggling with was that the tribe did not have a word that described the concept of obedience. That wasn't even a valued concept in the tribe. And so he was struggling to even find a basic word for obedience, which makes explaining the Christian life kind of difficult. And one day he saw one of the tribesmen call a dog, and the dog came running to him, and the tribesman was patting the dog on the head and complimenting the dog. And he heard the tribesman use a couple words, and he thought, aha. So he went up and he said, "What words did you just say to this dog?" And through their conversation, he was able to finally understand that the guy had just said to his dog, "Good dog, you're all ears, you're all ears." And he thought, aha, I have found the concept for obedience that's going to have to work in this tribal group, all ears. Joseph never says a word in Scripture. But boy, when God spoke, Joseph was all ears. Folks, that's a superpower. Do you have that? Do I have it? Third thing about this that I think is really impressive. Joseph was asked to do something really unselfish. Did you know that he wasn't even going to get to name his own son? He was going to care for him like his own. He was going to, provide for him. He was going to protect him. But he didn't get to name him. He was even told by the angel of the Lord, give him the name Jesus. He wasn't going to be Simon Bar-Joseph, Simon the son of Joseph. He wasn't going to be anything Bar-Joseph, which would have been common in the day for your first son. He was going to be Jesus. He was going to be Yeshua. He was going to be Jehovah Saves. That's what that name means. But it's hard to let go. It's hard. And in our era where we live our lives with our phones pointed at our faces. This is me with my new haircut. This is me in the new swimsuit. You do not want to see that one, by the way. Oh, this is what I ate last night. This is me and my friends. Joseph did something remarkable. He just took the camera, he turned it around, and he pointed it at God. And he said, "God, what are you up to? That's what matters." He was asked to do an unselfish thing. And he did. Being Father's Day, such a great chance for me to just, as an example, to honor my dad. This is what my dad did. and so many people of his generation. My dad grew up in abject poverty in eastern Kentucky. And people in the family didn't really have a lot of education. My dad made a hard choice. He joined the Army when he was 18, I think. He served 20 years in the Army. And all through my growing up years, my dad was in places like Vietnam where he got wounded. He was in places like Cambodia and in Thailand on foreign tours of duty. That's where my dad was as I was growing up. And at the time, I resented it. Like, where is my dad? But in time and maturity and perspective, I look back and see my dad was doing what he could do as someone coming out of poverty without education. My dad never had much to say. He was a sergeant in the Army. But boy, when I got to be a junior or senior in high school, he suddenly got all chatty because he wanted me to go to college. My dad lived not with the phone pointed at himself or at me. My dad was a godly man and he lived with the phone pointed at God. God, what are you up to? That's what I want to know. That's what I want to be the most important thing in my life. I think we could learn from that. I think we all could. Joseph did something that was really hard to believe. He accepted that a virgin could be with child, and that God was responsible. And because he did, it really kind of changed everything. I mean, the whole Christmas story, of course, is different, but it actually changed our basic view, our understanding of God. You know, when the angels did all of their announcing, you know, like if you read through all of the Christmas story, especially in Matthew and Luke, right? The angels are going to everybody, telling them everything. They go to Mary. Remember, the Bible says, and Mary was troubled at these things and pondered them in her heart. The angels go to the shepherds, and the Bible says the angels were terrified. They were sore afraid. The angels go to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. And Zechariah says, "Say what?" And God says, "Well, you're not going to speak again until the baby comes." The angel goes to Joseph. And the Bible says Joseph woke up and did as the angel of the Lord. His superpower was quiet faith. I love the fact that that changes our perspective on God. You know, in the Old Testament, I think I've shared this recently, God is referred to as Father 17 times in the Old Testament. That's not a lot for a gigantic book. And it's always like the father of Abraham, the father of Isaac. It's like that. It's a lineage thing. Did you know in the New Testament that God is referred to as Father like 144 times? You know why? Because of Jesus. In fact, most of those usages are Jesus. And they are a little Aramaic word that was common in the streets in the first century, Abba. And it just means Papa. Daddy, a word, maybe Jesus' first word. Who knows? That he got comfortable with in the lap of a man who wasn't his biological father, but loved him and raised him to know and love and believe God. This superpower is available to you. And I think it would come in really handy in whatever you face in life. Would you wield it? Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, can I encourage you just to humble yourself? It's intimidating preaching about fatherhood for me. I swing and miss all the time. I make so many mistakes. I mean, just being honest. But in God, there is this steady stream. In fact, it's more like a flowing river of grace and mercy. Come and stand under it. Maybe today, if you're not a Christian, just confess your sin. God, forgive me of my sin. I received Christ into my life as Lord and Savior. You know, he gave you free will. He gave Joseph a choice of what to do when he woke up. He gives you a choice right now. What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to live a life of faith? Or is the phone always going to be pointed here? You say, oh, no. I'm not a selfish person. Well, the phone doesn't always need to be pointed at your culture either. That's not going to serve you well or them. What if we just pointed it at God this morning? Maybe you are a Christian, but you feel like you've drifted far from Him. And maybe this morning is a great opportunity for you to return to your really good, good Father who loves you with arms open wide and who's inviting you into fellowship with Him. Just come. You say, I've tried that 100 times. Fallen every time. He hadn't gone anywhere. Come. Come and rebuild what's been broken. Maybe here today you're really burdened. Maybe there's something going on in your life or a friend's life and you're just really concerned. And you just would like a moment to pray. Can we just do that? Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe right there between you and God, there's some things you'd like to pray about. Maybe there's someone for whom you really would like to pray for. Just do so right now. Just lift them up. Maybe today you'd like to just take a moment. To confess sin and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. It kind of takes the same thing that Joseph had. It takes the faith to believe that God is truth and true to His Word. Father, we cry out to you for mercy and help. We thank you for the faith and the examples of faith we find throughout scriptures. What faith we find in Mary, in Joseph. What amazing, amazing superhero kind of faith we find. But the most amazing thing is that it's available to us right here today, no matter who we are or how mistake prone we are. Or even how sinful we are. Father, I pray for everybody in the room and the things they may be dealing with today. I pray you would grant us mercy as we seek you. Today, if you'd like to talk with someone about faith, as soon as this service ends, which will just be in like 45 seconds or so, as soon as this service ends, I encourage you to make your way to our response room and find staff ministers, find deacons there, others that you could talk with or pray with or ask questions of. And that's exactly why they're there, in our response room, which is to my left and your right in this hallway. Can I invite you to stand as we sing our closing chorus and go, let's stand together.
Thank you for listening to the Salem Baptist Church podcast by Dr. Jeff Beckett. For more information about Salem, please visit our website at salem-bc.org.